Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can find us at Everyman Sports on Twitter, on Facebook, and everywhere else. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
And also with us back this week is Alex. How you doing, Alex?
Very well, thank you.
We're glad to have you back.
Nice to be back.
Well, that's what I like to hear. I like that you're coming back. That's what we're excited about.
The only downside is when I'm on the podcast, I then can't listen to the podcast.
I understand that. I'll be honest. I subscribe to my own podcast just to make sure it's, you know, working properly and everything goes through. But, you know, I don't listen to them. I just have them there. They sit there, not listened.
I wouldn't imagine the psyche would last very well if it was just... Exactly zero on the play count.
Yeah, exactly. Just, it wouldn't work at all. So let's talk about week 9 of the NFL. Let's start there. Big week this week that just passed by. We had the Broncos lose on the road in Indianapolis, so they're no longer shocking. Undefeated. Mm. It was pretty shocking, but I'm going to go out and say that even though what just recently occurred with Andrew Luck, we'll get to that right in a second, but I think that the fourth quarter of the Monday night game against the Panthers kind of translated into this week, and had things not gone so badly for now Andrew Luck, who we'll get to in a second, but had things not happened with that, I think it, not necessarily all the way to the Super Bowl, but it might have been that sort of catalyst, like to get a winning season, to win the NFC.
Yeah, they're
AFC
still likely to win their division.
They're still likely to win division, and it turns out in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, Andrew Luck got a lacerated kidney,
right,
as well as an abdominal muscle tear. He will be out 2 to 6 weeks, which really puts a dower on the season going forward. Because, yes, they might likely win their division, but still, Matt Hasselbeck is your quarterback.
This is not their year.
This is not their year. They made a lot of mistakes in the offseason. When their deficiency was defense, they decided to load up on offense.
They've been doing that,
but not just any old, like just old offensive players. Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
Frank Gore. Frank Gore has been doing well, but you don't look at him and be like, "Oh, that's an upgrade."
Right.
No.
Mm. Well, that's a management problem.
Right. And actually, Denver got it close. They were down, I think, something like 17. What was it 17-0 at 17-7 going into the half. And they came back with 17 of their own in the last two quarters, but they lost by 3. And actually, they could have got the ball back with like 20 seconds left, but a lot of frustration penalties. Aqib Talib poking Dwayne Allen in the eye.
Well, that was interesting.
Right, yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid, but then again, I mean, it's a game of violence, a game of domination, and when things like happen, people are outraged. Like, of course, he said he didn't do it on purpose, of course, so who would say they did?
Right, exactly.
Mike,
right?
But will he be wearing the tinted windscreen now?
Oh, the Jim McMahon, the LaDainian Tomlinson, that? One of those masks? Well, maybe. You might, right. I could, yeah.
So you're going to have that equipment. You had JPP.
JPP coming back. He was surprisingly effective. I wouldn't say he changed the game.
With that massive
game.
Club that they, I thought he lost fingers. It looked like scissor hands out there. what was going on
and
there?
And you brought up the point where before we were watching the game, you said if you're Coughlin, if you're Spagnuolo, you got to have him, since his right hand is the one that's, have him on the left end.
Right.
So he can come around, sort of sweep off with that big club of a right hand and then reach with the left hand. But I saw him almost exclusively.
He was on the right side. So that meant that hand was free.
Right. Mm. So the damaged hand. At the same time, how much grabbing you're going to be.
You're not going to be making edge tackles with that, though.
No, he's swiping with the other hand. Well, whatever. That's
right. So, yeah, so Denver lost, and they're no longer undefeated. Atlanta surprisingly lost in San Francisco on a rather silly conservative play call by Dan Quinn. He elected to fourth and one from the one, so I just kick the field goal instead of trying for a touchdown and end up costing them.
Well, the
game.
Truth was, in the undefeateds, when they were undefeated, they were the pretender.
Oh, the Atlanta? Yeah.
Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They just can't put up the points now.
No, which is surprising.
You know, and that's 3 weeks in a row, so that's a trend, and they're trending down, and all that hopefulness went away.
Right. They're likely to still... So you have to figure that a wild card team will come out of the South. At least one.
Mm.
Doubtful both, but at least one will.
We look at the NFC, and it's just... It's not a great picture.
No, it's not. I mean, the NFC... the East is... you know, the best
parody.
Of the worst.
That's what parody does.
Yeah.
Everybody stinks.
Everybody stinks. But it just seems like there are those who hold on longer, i.e. the Patriots, the Steelers.
But it does Packers. Seem with Denver, New England, and Cincinnati, I mean, I think the NFC is really just the Panthers and Arizona.
Probably.
Do we think the Panthers are for real?
For sure.
You have to at least consider them. Look, they have...
They win ugly, and I like that in a team.
Yeah, I mean, they stormed out against the Packers. They stormed out to a big lead to the point where we tried to get off of that game.
Yeah.
We tried to switch off that game, but we couldn't. And so we're like, you know what, let's just... And lo and behold, Aaron Rodgers and his magic comes back, and they're storming back, and it just falls apart near the end, including a last-second interception that changed the possession in the game itself.
Right.
But, I mean, look, Carolina's got a star quarterback. A talented star quarterback, a very good defense with an excellent defensive secondary.
And they play together.
They have probably the best tight end outside of Gronkowski and Greg Olsen. You've got Jonathan Stewart
Mike
in the backfield. Yes.
Yeah, and that defense. That's fun to watch.
But that defense is the big thing.
They got secondary, they got linebackers. Yeah. So, yeah, it's exciting.
But, I mean, that's kind of like...
But then again... Nobody really has good defense. I mean, everybody is giving up stuff late. It's an offensive league.
No, it has been for a long time. So anybody who's got a strong enough defense, you have to at least give them.
Well, that's why these big betting lines are terrifying.
Yeah, and there's a lot.
The teams come back.
Mm.
That's true, yeah. Because there's always the garbage time stuff. There's always all that sort of stuff. Dallas loses again at home. This time to the Eagles in overtime. Surprisingly close game. But, you know, Matt Castle throws a pick six. And
he's not the answer.
Of course he's not the answer. That's why he's a backup, which makes you wonder, like, wow, how well they could have used somebody else in the draft. Like, you look around the league and, you know, somebody like, even as it's silly, but, like, you look in Cleveland, and not to give Johnny Manziel's praise, but, you know, he still stepped in. He did admirably against Cincinnati until they really... They
put
pulled
the
apart.
Down.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you look around, you have to have a quality backup to at least. I mean, the Steelers, who, although they won, they lost Roethlisberger for probably a couple weeks. And, you know, Landry Jones? Landry Jones for a couple. He held the fort down for 2 weeks, but you can't expect that for six, 7 weeks at a time. Yeah. That's tough to do.
Well, these are wounded teams.
Very true. Yeah, it's hard to have a complete team, and especially as you go on later in the year, it's really hard to have that strong team.
Sure, Arizona, it happened to them last year.
That's right. Minnesota pulled out a big win at home in overtime against St. Louis,
they're the least respected good team out there.
That's right.
They're a six seed in the playoffs?
I'd say a five.
A five.
I'd have to say a five. Right now, technically, they're tied for the lead with Green Bay.
If Oakland beats them, do you still have them there?
Maybe a six. Depends what Atlanta does. That's what you have to say.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, we'll have to see how at least Bridgewater for the who is it?
Was that a was that a late hit?
It's hard to.
I mean, if you're the guy, what are you supposed to do? If you hit him high, it's a penalty. So you got to go low.
Right.
So you go low, and he's got this weasel
and he's sliding
where he can slide and cleat you or do whatever.
Right.
You,
and he brings himself down to your level.
And this is all in full speed, and then I see it for a week in slow motion. And
he should have, in that nanosecond, he should have decided not to dunk.
If anything, you look at that, and I just go, that's bad tackle technique. Because he doesn't know what he's hitting.
Right.
His head is
Right. And a foot off the floor, looking at the floor, he doesn't know where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you wear all this armor. You can just be like, I don't care.
My head's in there somewhere.
Now, I know they want to protect these because it's the starting pitcher every week, you know, being a quarterback.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you got four quarterback staff or whatever.
Right.
So they want to protect this guy, I understand. But it would make sense to me that the first 2 yards, that rule applies. Once you go 2 yards past the line of scrimmage as a quarterback, you're just a running back.
I think that's
fair. Not well, then why would that?
You? Because they're also like punters and kickers are also protected. So do you? Can they not be hit anymore?
What do you mean they're
like?
Protected?
Oh. So any punt or kick play, you can't just level the kicker, even on a return.
Even if you can't block, even him. Accidental contact with the kicker is 5 yards.
If you blocked into him, you can. If your player blocks,
right? I know, but even if you don't, yeah, like, hey, I'm going for the block. Oh, the ball's going to hit you.
But that's because the vulnerability of being on one leg with one like a ballet. Star with their foot.
I
mean, I see the vulnerability there. Mm.
They're a specialty.
You know, but with the quarterback, I mean, you can't just figure that anytime you decide that. You know, hey, boxing's full of guys that bobbed when they should have weaved. You know, so I got no sympathy with those guys. You know, that's the play, and it's a violent game, and can we accept that?
I accept it.
Okay.
But the problem is that you don't, like, look, Dallas has all these marquee matchups. Like, they always have the Thanksgiving Day game, but they've got this past Sunday against the Eagles, all this stuff, all these games that they're on national television because they're a, quote-unquote, America's team, and they're a big draw, and it's Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
Or it's Brandon Whedon. That's not...
Well, I understand.
So, at the same time, you know, the NFL is about the marquee matchups. And
what
about
a great linebacker for Pittsburgh Steelers, Jack Lambert, who played, by the way, at under 200 pounds.
Right.
As a middle linebacker and was a beast.
Right.
He said they should wear skirts. And then this way we know who they are, where they are at all times, and hands off.
Yeah. But whether it's the red shirt in, you know, college where they literally wear a red shirt so you know, hey, this is a not, you know, he's non-contact and all that stuff. Or the jerseys or the helmet caps they put on them. Yeah, whatever, so you don't hurt the quarterback because it's going to hurt them. And will their backup hurt the Vikings? We'll have to see.
Mm. Don't think Bridgewater plays?
Well, it's not that he won't play, but you got to figure, what if he doesn't? They're going to have to. The likelihood is that somebody will play either now or soon. Because, A, if you have one concussion, you're more susceptible to future concussions.
True.
That's number one.
True.
Number two is you just don't know if he's going to pass the pro. That looked like a bad hit, he was face down, and he didn't move.
Well, boxing commissions, I know New York was Madison Square Garden. It's, you know, world famous. But it's 30 days after you've been knocked out before you can get back in the ring.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's the one thing with the player safety now. It's out of their hands if a doctor says,
you're out.
He's out, then. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we watch, it doesn't matter what they put out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely true, which also brings you to the Greg Hardy thing, because that's been all over everything. Mm. The pictures came out of the damage he inflicted on his girlfriend at the time.
Was he arrested?
He was arrested, and it went to...
Was he convicted?
It went to a pre-trial.
Yes.
And then, I think it was called a bench trial.
Yes.
And then...
That means just the magistrate
just
or
the
judge.
Yeah.
Right. And then... before the actual trial were to begin, the woman no-showed, and so it was pretty much thrown out.
Right.
However, the NFL did go ahead, suspend him for the whole year, plus it was supposed to be 10 games, but an arbitrator whittled it down to 4. So, you know, look, game we're going to watch, we're not going to turn it off because somebody who has already served his time for the sport, maybe not for the federal.
Well, I'm just thinking, if they're not going to press charge, I mean, if there's not a conviction, I mean, to me, you know, I mean, we're still a country of laws.
That's true.
So, I mean, I can imagine my employer hearing something that happened, but there was no, you know, I mean, does that affect me?
Well, I guess there's a difference between the law of the land and the business. Does the business want to be associated?
Well, I understand why the NFL did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I'm
that's why that's why he's playing and not in jail.
I mean, the same thing with Michael Vick. He did his time. So to me, he did his time. Martha Stewart did her time. I mean, you know, I give him credit for that. And now that to me, the punishment is over.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, there
that's why he has a job now. But it doesn't mean anyone has to
And he
forgive him or respect him in any way. It's just he's doing his job, and he
Vicar Hardy or anybody,
right. Anybody. Yeah. It's like they're now doing their job again. It's not. It's in our hands to commentate and condemn all we like, but we don't control the NFL. We don't control his livelihood.
No. And no matter, you know, anybody who's, you know, up in arms about it, especially in the, you know, so-called media, sports media, you know, who come on and talk about it. Okay, well then, you know, you have the most power because you don't have to talk about the Cowboys. But that is a near impossibility because, aforementioned, America's team and the big star and Jerry Jones and all these things.
Well,
so,
Jerry Jones backing him up 100% is crazy, calling him a leader. I mean, didn't the guy just show up?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, what's your locker room like?
It's got Dez Bryant in it, so
that is true. However,
on the Cowboys.
No, I agree. We're not exactly Cowboy fans here, but
didn't they lose five straight or six?
They're currently in a 5-game winning streak. They're 2-5, and amazingly, they're still alive in that NFC East. Right, so
a comment on the NFC East.
Right. Look at and at the same time, just to finish it off, we watch sports and we talk about sports because it's a distraction from our real lives where we actually might have to deal with something like this, whether personally or just, you know, secondhand or whatever. So,
well, it's also they get to do things to opposing players that we can't do in real life.
True.
Like sometimes I see the quarterback go down, I think, and
stay down.
My supervisor, that's him.
Stay down,
Rob. On him.
That is true. So let's look at week 10. And I know we weren't too happy about some of the lines that we were looking. Well, first of all, some of the matchups. Brady goes back to New York. The Patriots play twice at MetLife Stadium.
Right.
Between this game with the Giants, and then they have the Jets game upcoming. Giants are currently on a two-game win? No. How many wins have New York is 5-4. New York has a...
Well, they just came off two road victories, right? They beat Tampa Bay, and didn't they beat...
No, they lost. They lost to the Saints.
That's right, at the end of the game.
Right.
Okay.
That was 52-49.
Right. So, technically, they really should have won that game.
Well...
So, you...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way they came back, even though they were losing, you know, you want to call that... All right. So, you got to say that... So, split there, obviously. But, you know, this is their chance where they can take hold of the NFC East... You know, and it's Eli and Brady, and Eli is the Brady Slayer. So, you have to give them a chance. You have to give them a chance because if there's one, there's a lot of
for radio. My facial expression is not agreeing.
There's a lot of bad blood. There's a lot of bad ink with the Patriots and Belichick and Brady over these last couple of years with all their personal problems.
But Belichick and
Brady or Coughlin?
Gandhi, they're from the same tree.
Yeah, they're both from the Parcells family of
coaching.
Yeah, one on offense, one on defense. So that's a big game. I personally find the Jets Bills game to be interesting. You know, IK.
I'm liking Denver. Over Kansas City.
You like Denver over Kansas City?
That's 6.5, yeah.
Yes. Six and a half. Yeah, Denver at home. You got to figure this is going to be, and we talked about this before we started recording, that do you think having that one loss, being like, okay, we lost, we don't have to worry about going undefeated, okay, we can just go out and play our game? Or do you know, the stress of a perfect season. So now, in one way, that's off the table, and now they get back to business at home against Kansas City. So 6.5 you have. All right, that's
and
it.
And I'm liking St. Louis over Chicago.
Chicago came, you know, they
came barreling back to win.
Yeah, this is currently recorded on Tuesday, so I'm on the Monday night game against the Chargers. And St. Louis at home, you know, feeling that was a tough game to lose in St. Louis, in Minnesota. Could have had that.
No, they're not a consistent team.
No, St. Louis is not. Definitely not.
But Todd Gurley is worth the admission.
He is very
he's
much.
He's the bomb. Something.
And, yeah.
He's the best of the draft.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
He's
rookie of the year. And he didn't play the first how many games?
First, like, three.
Amari Cooper might have something to say.
Oh, you know what? Amari Cooper. Ooh, that's a good
That's a
very
good receiver
point.
For Oakland?
Oakland, yeah. And he's just throwing up 100.
He's the bomb.
100
how do you
yard
like
games.
How do you, what do you think of that game with Minnesota?
I think if Minnesota win that game, then people might start
respecting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're 6-2. They're tying the division with Green Bay, and yet you don't really...
Right.
No one's really... I think it's just because they're a boring team.
I'm thinking
who? Minnesota. Minnesota. Yeah. They are. Peterson is he's consistent, but he hasn't been, you know, the 2,000 yard.
But if I'm looking Monday at the scores and the standings and I see them at 6-3, I wouldn't be shocked, right?
No, you wouldn't be shocked
because nobody's Ravens buying into team. Oakland.
No,
I'm all in on it.
Well, Derek, I think they're great. Derek Carr has this is the second straight game he had four touchdowns passing, third straight.
I think
something
he's
crazy.
Four straight games of 300 yards and like 12 touches and two turnovers.
That's unbelievable. First of all, from his family tree, who is his brother, not the other Carr, who just he ran himself out of Houston. And so
and the Giants. Was
and the Giants. So here comes Derek Carr. He's got weapons up the yin yang between Andre Holmes and Amari Cooper.
His brother was a concert pianist.
Yes.
So the interesting thing was, it's not like, offensive line's going to have a beer with you. I mean, there's not much relation going on there.
That's true.
So if he had not revealed that, maybe.
If Brid, would it see, and this goes back up to Minnesota and the backup quarterback. So the backup quarterback starts, you're not going to give them as much of a chance to win against Oakland. So 6-3 is like,
I think Bridgewater's going to play.
Now, let's say Bridgewater plays. Not only do you give them a better chance of winning, do you have more of an expectation for them to beat Oakland in Oakland?
I mean, I'm feeling Oakland.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I would have to agree, Oakland. So you like Oakland. Do you like Oakland giving 3?
Yeah, I mean, I wish they were getting, but they're not.
All right, so you like Oakland giving 3. You like Chicago getting 7.5.
No, I don't like Chicago.
Oh, you like St. Louis getting?
I do.
Giving 7.5. And
I'm liking Denver.
And you like Denver giving 6.5. You have, Alex. Did you have any?
A lot of wood.
Do you have any picks? Because I know you've been pretty successful with your picks as well.
I think the Raiders will probably take the Vikings Raiders game. I'd maybe give them 5-6. Maybe.
Yeah.
Might win. My thing is looking for the exciting games. I think Cardinals Seahawks is probably the pick of the
it's a Sunday
games
night
in
game.
Terms of the viewership. But then again, Seattle? The last game I thought would be great was the Chargers and Raiders, and turns out the Chargers are really not as good as I hoped them to be.
No, I was still surprised last night. Danny Woodhead had a big game, but I was really expecting that to be just a shootout, like another 52-49, maybe not that extreme, but 22-19. That's it? Yeah. I have the two bad defense. These are bad defense, Bears and San Diego.
I think Keenan Allen, also with a ruptured kidney, is just it just proves how vital
is
he is.
Is that what he had?
Yeah,
he's so. Getting like a shoulder injury.
I thought it was
Keenan Allen.
Sorry. Yeah, without if Phil Rivers doesn't have that dependable go-to receiver, he just doesn't. And with, especially with Antonio Gates not.
Well, he found Gates. He found Gates for 69 yards.
With those
yards.
Other guys, he couldn't really. He was having shown him where to line up.
Right.
I mean, he had all these inexperienced wide receivers. That's a problem.
It is. Yeah. It is. Well, that's why they're. What are they now? Not very good.
No,
that's what they're
playing
just
this week.
So. Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Three and six. Something like that,
I don't even know.
Now, what about Cincinnati Monday night?
Cincinnati hosting Houston. You got to figure that they don't
spread?
Nine to know.
Yeah.
Well, that's
14.
10.5.
10.5.
I have
10.5.
I too much?
No, I'd take that.
I don't know.
That's what Cincinnati, the line was 11.5 against the Browns.
And they beat them, and they covered that.
Exactly. All right. Who's a better team, Houston or the Browns? Well, the Browns is divisional. They know them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even the Houston made the Dolphins look good for that 1 week.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Chad.
Yeah. Look, this is they've got two straight games of their defense only giving up 10 points, the Bengals. I don't know if that can continue, but I don't see it. I'd stay away from that one. That one's kind of tough, actually. I'd be tempted to take
Houston.
Because
you're not buying into Cincinnati.
No, it's not that I'm not buying. I kind of am, if nothing else, because I do like Andy Dalton. Like, I would like to see him succeed because, you know, used to be Marino or Elway or all these other guys. Or
right.
Peyton. Right. Oh, they can't do it in the playoffs. Oh, come January, they stink. I want to see somebody come through and be like, no, I'm okay. I'm pretty good at this. But 10.5, that might be too much. I'd be tempted to take the Texans. I could see that like a 9-point game.
I wouldn't complain if the Bengals get out first round of the playoffs like they do every year.
Fair enough.
There's something comforting about some dependable
like you just
record in sport. You just you put your house
right
down
on it.
Look, if the playoffs were to, if the Jets were in the playoffs and they had to play, they were the that would be the sixth seed, and they have to play Cincinnati. Obviously I'd want my Jets to win, but if it's not the Jets, I'd go Cincinnati.
Well, the Jets and Cincinnati have played pretty close in recent matchups.
Yes, they have, especially in the playoffs.
But that was then, and this is now.
Yeah, exactly.
And getting to the Jets Buffalo, with Rex coming back into town with
the puncher.
Yeah, that broke the quarterback's jaw there. He'll be
IK.
One of the captains.
Yeah, is it? Which you just go
coin
out.
Coin toss.
Yeah, you go out to the coin toss, and it's not like Geno's going to be there. He's not going to be at the coin toss either.
Would you back someone to be like, put the sixth string middle linebacker out there just to start a fight?
That'd be pretty funny.
Well, they would do that in hockey, maybe.
Yeah. Now that's not Bowles's.
But what's interesting with that is a few scenarios, of course, a little comedy involved. But, I mean, you send Geno out there as one of the captains with one of those pretend giant checks that cover most of his body. Which brings me to a question. Now that he's broke his jaw, does he still owe this? Does he still owe the $600?
No, I think that,
or
that's
is that
payment.
Payment?
That's payment. That's payment. Just like with the mob.
Right,
like
so that's in lieu of.
We break, took it off your body.
We break thumbs.
So that's in lieu of cash.
Exactly.
Okay.
Look, if you're not going to pay us the money, we're going to have to beat you up pretty good. Just to make sure, A, you either get us the money soon or you never borrow money from us again.
Well, I was saying, when he was signed in Buffalo, I said the first thing I'd be asking is, if I was the head coach, is, do I owe you money? And does anyone else in this organization owe you money?
That's right.
So it's a great sideshow.
Now,
but the problem is, in general, is that Rex Ryan is really a barn burner. You know, like he can really build up for one game, and then of course they deflate afterwards. Jerry Glanville was probably the best at it.
Yeah, he builds
in the past.
Mm.
So, but I like Todd Bowles, and I like his attitude, and I like his all business, and I really give him a shot to put Rex down.
Yeah, look, I loved Rex when he was coach of the Jets, but you know.
And who's quarterback in there now? Buffalo.
I think isn't it Tyrod Taylor?
He's back.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it was just a matter of time till they got to him.
Yeah,
like they did Lewis, the running back for New England. I mean, at 170 pounds or whatever he plays at, he wasn't long for the league.
And very true. Yeah. So, and also with the Thursday night game, the NFL is now doing this color rush with the jerseys. Now it's...
Color rush?
It's color rush. So both teams will be wearing their secondary colors. So there's no white uniforms.
Okay.
For the following, the bunch of next Thursday night.
And the reason for that is?
Because they want to have a... It's the jersey. First
sell
of all,
it's
to
strips.
Sell more jerseys. So here, so the Jets will be having... So all green, all Kelly green. So here, if you want to take a look at that picture. So they're going to be wearing all green.
Is that the color of money?
it might just be.
Will you post that to the Everyman Sports
Twitter
account?
I can absolutely do that. And then here you have the Bills. They're going to be wearing all red. So it's going to be all green and all red. No white jerseys, no white, pretty much no white.
Is that
anything
around the league?
That's going to be only for the Thursday night games.
Oh, okay.
For the upcoming NFL Network Thursday night game. First of all, it's more revenue. You sell more jerseys.
Right.
And it does make it interesting. Look, one of the things I like to do around the Super Bowl is look at the end zones.
Yes.
Of, you know, because they color the end zones nicely. So I do like that visual aesthetic of the game.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in it, but at the same time, as a Jet fan, I don't like that green look.
No.
No. Mm. First of all, I like my green dark. I like a nice dark green. At Kelly Green, that's Notre Dame stuff, which I love Notre Dame, but that's
not feeling it.
Nah, don't put it there. At least I don't like that. And it's Nike, so this is Nike's way of, because you know Nike,
right? Sure,
they do the college ones, and they're all about Oregon with all the different ones. So this is their way to, you know, weasel themselves into that.
I was just trying to double check them to make sure that the 49ers weren't playing on a Thursday night anytime soon.
No,
because their alt jerseys are awful.
Well, the black ones, which look like the XFL.
Yeah.
It's red ones, which are, you know, that's classic. I'm still waiting for them to break out a gold jersey. That makes them all, you're the 49ers, whatever.
Maybe when they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, whenever that is.
Well, they're a nugget of a different sort.
That is true.
Wouldn't actually call it golden.
Right. No, that's a good point. All right, so let's move over to baseball, because even though it's, you know, World Series is over, but now the off-season stuff starts to happen. Signings are going to happen pretty soon. And now they've just got the Hall of Fame ballot out. Ken Griffey.
So Mike Piazza.
Mike Piazza at 69%, 63%.
Right now?
That's where last year's voting.
Yeah, he's going to be higher than that.
Well, yes. The ones at the top, they always have a bump up.
Yeah. He's going to make
it. The only first ballot, so the current ballot, the big names that jump out right at you is Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
He's got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay.
More than likely. Trevor Hoffman, all-time leader in saves. If it's not Eckersley, Sutter, or Mariano Rivera, it's very hard to get in if you're a reliever. And I think the next one down from that is Jim Abbott. Jim Edmonds.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
So, Griffey, and it's got to be Mike Piazza.
Yes,
look, I'm a Met
absolutely.
Fan. I'm a
it's gonna happen.
Big Mike Piazza fan, and it has been hard these last couple years just seeing him just outside while Larkin gets in.
Shows pimples on his back.
No. That's not evidence enough to say.
I know it's not evidence.
That's
but
ridiculous.
The rumor has kept the whole group out.
I know, but this is
but
like...
he's going to make it this time.
Yeah, he better.
He's
he better.
Make it this time.
That's ridiculous if he doesn't
he's
make it.
He's big with two franchises.
Yes.
He's big.
That's the other reason.
That's a lot of home runs for a
that's the other reason he goes
usually
in.
Your hands are banged up and you don't bat well.
He's got the all-time... He's the all-time leader in home runs for a catcher. He's got over 2,000 hits.
Right.
I think he has 421 home runs. He has a 308 batting average.
As a catcher.
And he played almost every day.
Right.
And he was great. And I'll tell you what, as a Met
he's
fan.
He's going to make it.
I'm a big Mike Piazza fan. That's when I was really sort of coming up. And that was before, prior to 06 in this past year, 1999, 2000. Those were the big years. And so Mike Piazza was big
to
me.
So he has good things ahead of him.
He's got good things. So I'm excited because also that's a Met. Because
yeah.
He's going to go in with a Met hat.
Right.
If he doesn't, if it's some sort of, I want to honor L.A., stop it. You're a Met.
Right.
You're a Met. And that's another retired number on the wall. 31. Which it's not a race to see who's got the most retired numbers.
Right,
but
right.
I'd like something else. The last one they had was Tom Seaver when I was like three. So.
Any other baseball news? I mean,
The finalists, because now they just do finalists like they do the NFL awards.
Right.
The finalists for like the MVP, the Cy Young.
Comeback player.
Comeback player was Matt Harvey for the National League.
It wasn't A-Rod?
No, it was Prince Fielder. Which Prince Fielder did? He had a great season.
Now, what about Reyes? I heard he got arrested.
Reyes got arrested for domestic violence, so he's probably not going to be around for a while. He'll be having to sit out. Also, there was a death, Tommy Hansen. He was a pitcher for the Braves and the Angels the last couple seasons. He died of, I think it was catastrophic organ failure.
I wonder what that's from.
Nobody knows. I think it was like a genetic thing that just like it exploded in him or something like that.
All you need is your heart to stop. You don't need everything to go.
Well, it might have organs. There are a lot of organs. Your brain's an organ. Your heart's
right.
an organ.
Right.
Your lungs are an organ. So a lot of stuff. So MVP finalists for the American League, Lorenzo Cain, Josh Donaldson, Mike Trout. I think it's Josh Donaldson. I think he was the best this year. National League, I'm amazed they even came up with three people because it's Harper. There's nothing about that.
Right.
It is.
There's no doubt about it.
There's no and also an interesting tidbit, three. So Paul Goldschmidt with the Diamondbacks, Bryce Harper with the Nationals, Joey Votto with the Reds, none of them made the playoffs.
Right.
So that's an interesting little tidbit. Cy Young for the American League is probably going to be Dallas Keuchel. You could say maybe David Price, but it's Dallas Keuchel with the Astros. National League Cy Young, this is the interesting one. Jake Arrieta, who had over 20 wins.
Right. That's big.
Zach Greinke, who had like a under 2 ERA. So he had a 166 ERA. Arrieta had a 177 ERA.
How many wins?
I think he had like 18, 16,
yeah.
something like that.
Well,
and then
today, where do you find 20 game winners now with five
very few
rotations? And so that's a huge accomplishment.
Very, very few. And then Clayton Kershaw with the Dodgers as well. That's going to be a tough one. You know, if you care about Rookie of the Years, that's probably going to be Carlos Correa in the American League. And
do they ever really go on to be anything?
Sometimes.
but often not.
Not often. I can remember Pat Listash. He was an American League Rookie of the Year, and he didn't do much. Managers of the Year, if you're interested in that. You know, I hope it's Terry Collins, but I don't know. We'll say so. That's happening with that. And I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, so that's the National League and all that stuff, and baseball's going on. Alex, how'd you do in fantasy this week?
Not too bad. 2 wins, 3 losses.
Okay.
Everyman Sports League was a bit frustrating. Got beaten to D'Angelo Williams on the wire and then lost to the person who picked up D'Angelo Williams, and that was the only person that I would have lost to that week. That's always tough to have the 10-1 breakdown and the notch in the L column.
You look like, oh, I could have beaten everybody except the person. Well, that would be because D'Angelo Williams in our Everyman Sports League, which does have a higher point system, got 51 points, whom my wife, Lee, picked up, and she started him, and you lost by 2.
Yeah,
by 2 points.
Doug Martin didn't get the production.
Doug Martin didn't do it. Charles Sims really picked up that game for whoever had him. And then Aaron Rodgers got you 47 points, which was big. But and I went 1-1 this week. I also had Stephon Diggs, and he did nothing for either of us.
Nope.
And that was actually the game. I won my Everyman Sports game quite handily. And then in my public league, I, too, picked up D'Angelo Williams. However, I decided to start Mark Ingram over D'Angelo Williams.
What?
At the time, I thought, look, Tennessee just got rid of their head coach. Even if it's...
That's often a wake-up call to the team. If he can go, I can go. I play hard this week.
Mariota was iffy if he would start, and then he did start. I thought that at home the Saints would at least... Keery Robinson was out for them.
Well, they can't stop anybody.
I know, but I thought maybe to slow the game down, give it to Mark Ingram. He can run.
Right.
But
you don't expect them to fall behind and have to...
Yes. But get back into it. I lost by 23 points.
I didn't actually drop Danny Woodhead.
Yeah.
Which not a great decision, it turned out.
Well,
I mean, but I wouldn't have any Chargers players either. But
here's the thing. So that was in the Everyman Sports League. I dropped Danny Woodhead. I had enough. And also I picked up Langford, the new Bears running back.
He looks good.
Yes, he looks good. He got the volume, the amount of carries.
Where's Forte?
He's hurt.
Yeah,
I think an ankle, some sort of lower body injury. So in the Everyman Sports League, I was like, oh, I got to pick up Langford. Because I've got Devontae Freeman.
Oh, he looked really good.
And that was the other thing. Devontae Freeman, at Atlanta, you can't beat San Francisco, which is so bad. And you can't have Devontae Freeman, who runs everybody up, just can't break through against it. Very disappointing. Mm. So had I started D'Angelo Williams, I would have won by 2 points. Instead, I lost by like 22, 23.
It's like the one that got away.
It really is.
My
the
only
one
saving grace is there was nothing my bench could have done.
All right.
Matt Forte and Jordan Cameron both doing a whole lot.
Jordan Cameron and Charles Clay both kill me at tight end.
Now, were you saying that fantasy leagues were outlawed in New York?
Well, so yeah, the breaking news that came over the wire a couple hours ago that the New York State Attorney General says that the daily sports sites, DraftKings, FanDuel, right. All the commercials you see that run us crazy every day,
sure.
was deemed illegal by New York State, and therefore, you know, will not be, you know, pending some sort of court case or whatever.
Right.
So it's deemed illegal. So that's Las Vegas and New York. I haven't heard of any other states that have gotten rid of the daily fantasy sites.
How does that work? Because, I mean, it operates as a website, so is there a technical implementation of how you stop New York City people going FanDuel?
IPs, I think, like sort of a general...
That's how they do it with...
offshore?
Casino gambling in New Jersey.
True, yeah, that's right, because you can gamble online in New Jersey, but you can't do it out of state, so you can't be in New York.
It's like I can drive to Delaware and place a legal NFL bet,
right?
But I can't do it online.
No.
Across state lines.
Right.
It's the joy of the state system.
Yes.
The federal system.
Well, that's, you know... We'd
like to enjoy some states' rights before everything's federalized.
That's right. We try to find that happy balance here. You'll find that out very soon. So
central offices don't always play well across the entire nation.
No, absolutely not. So 2 out of the 50 states have now deemed the daily fantasy sites illegal. But you had just mentioned, Dad, that a lot of these the daily fantasy sites have so high powered
attorneys.
Yeah,
former government officials.
Right, so they're going to fight this.
Well, yeah, because the Congress really is not. I don't think they're going to make a move. It's going to be in limbo, and the courts will decide, and the high powered lawyers, I think, will win out. This is not online gambling.
No.
And it won't be pursued the way that was with bank credit cards and offshore, money and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
I'm probably on the other side of the fence. I think it is online gambling. But then I also think that adults should be responsible enough to be allowed access
True.
To gambling. So
True.
It seems it's weird to me that you come to the U.S. and you can't play online poker and things.
Yeah, it is online gambling. I think there's no doubt about it. It's you're gambling on a game of skill. I mean,
Yeah. It is, but it's the same. But it falls under the fantasy, right? The same way you play at like Yahoo or CBSSports.com, you play in those money leagues for fantasy football.
The hypocrisy that bothers me is that the NFL backs it up.
They've got the ads, but every commercial break.
But they don't want
ads.
Me to place a legal bet in New Jersey
no.
on the NFL.
No.
Saying that it you know, what is it, a moral issue? They fear corruption? I mean, they always...
They're not getting their taste of it.
They already exposed inside trading in fantasy leagues. Yeah.
Right.
So, should there be government regulation? Should it be, taxed as a gambling?
Why not take a cut? It's happening. Regulate it, take a cut. Move on.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, at first, the NFL didn't like fantasy sports, not even just daily fantasy sports.
But then
sports.
The NFL would have to admit that it's gambling.
And they don't want to do
that.
And
they're invested in it, saying it isn't.
As it is, half the time we look, and if there's a bad call in a game, we go, the refs are on the take. They must have a point spread. So, hey, they stopped.
They totally had Derek Carr as their FanDuel QB.
I heard phone calls that said that on the field goal attempt at the end of the Denver Colts game,
right?
At the Broncos Colts game, that defensive holding on the on the field goal was just a phantom call, even though I thought it was pretty clear that there was some defensive holding. But I've heard people say crazy stuff like no, they did that for the point spread, because then they don't have to kick the field goal, they can just take the knee and then don't have to worry about the point spread. The refs are on the take. That says, come on. So until we get through, we're not going to get past
NFL
that.
Referees.
No, nor should we.
Because I think they're doing a horrible job this year.
Yeah, they're not doing too good. I must say so. So that's happening with the fantasy leagues. We'll have to see what happens.
Are they full-time jobs?
What?
I thought all these guys did other things, these referees.
They're lawyers. Yeah, to actually admit or agree that these referees are they are influenced by the point spread, and
if you have enough money to fix a ref, you have better avenues of making your money make more money.
Well, I mean, Well, it was done in basketball. We know that
it was.
Baseball,
but you've never point shaving. Is more legitimate than it's football. You're lucky if you score. Basketball, the whole intent is you wait for them to score so you get the ball back.
you score every time you get the ball.
There's no such thing as point shaving, because there's only a 3-point play and a 6-point play in football, and maybe a 2-point play. There's no 4-point play. There's no 5-point play.
So the only people concerned about this are the gamblers.
Yeah. Of course, they always are. And they're the ones who call up and say, hey, I had money on that game. Refs must be on the take.
I'm coming at this as a neutral party. They're totally on the take.
Nah, I don't know what's going on. So, and then let's just quickly hit on college football, too. They've already released some of the rankings for the college playoff. And right now, Alabama beat LSU, which was a big game. Number 4 beats number 2. So now the current college football playoff, which is still over a month, close to a month and a half away, is Clemson and Notre Dame. TCU lost. That was a bad loss. You can't lose. If you lose, you're pretty much out.
You snooze, you lose.
And that's a tough conference to begin with. They don't have a championship game.
Right.
And that's what they're pushing for. All these other leagues have the SEC has a championship game. Pac-12 has a championship. You guys got to have a championship game. No championship game? You're just going on, I think he's better, I guess.
Yeah. Other side, I don't really understand college football specifically, because it seems to go away a lot of the way of boxing, where the undefeated record is so
important that you never... The big games are so far... Basically, a season boils down to these four games.
It is. And, there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, there's 120 as opposed to 32, you know, football teams. 120 different football teams, college football teams, all vying for 1 to 4 spots.
Mm.
You know, one being the championship spot. And then it's all based on recruits. Like how many good players have you accumulated through scholarships, through promising them the future in the NFL. Prestige of playing at this sort
BMW.
Of college. Right, exactly. Or, you know, whatever the boosters say they're going to give you. Hey, you want to work here over the summer? I'll give you $1,000 an hour. That's what happens. So when you look at that, because then it's, okay, who has amassed the most talent?
Yeah.
And, you know, where do you play against other similarly difficult teams that have similar talent?
Yeah.
So college football.
Well, they wanted a playoff system, and they now have it.
And now it's just going to get
even worse before.
Right. Oh God. Yeah. It's so bad. So and now it's just going to get better because very soon, when the TCUs and the Baylors of the world and Oklahoma State, that's currently undefeated and beat number 4 TCU, or number 3 TCU.
I can't wait till the Alabama players decide that they want caviar or something and decide not to play and hold the and hold the institution hostage. I can't wait for that. I love when students are empowered.
Yeah.
They have young, bright ideas, enthusiasm, and those people in the ivory towers.
Well,
Missouri
just stepped down. Yeah.
Missouri's president stepped down because there was a movement on campus amongst racial tensions that the student population feel that the president of the university did not follow through with and take seriously the predominantly black college football Missouri Tigers. Decided that they are going to stand in unison with their fellow students and not play Saturday, which would have lost the college $100 million.
Strong.
Because
that's a strong gun.
Because it's also, they play in the most recognizable college conference, the Southeastern Conference, SEC, which has Alabama, which has Florida, LSU, Auburn, all those big names. Yeah. So that would have been a very bad black eye for college football in general, for that conference.
Well, I wish Alabama would say we're not gonna play until all the student loans are cut in half.
Well, and you also hear about
all the parental support they'd get. Yeah. I mean, this could be a movement.
And most football players are on a scholarship, so you have to also take that into consideration. That you know, on either side. But the point is that, you know, I've also heard people say that this is going to be that step towards getting college players unionized. It's never going to happen.
I was about to say I look forward to the day it does, but that might kill the.
That's good. That would kill college athletics.
I'll make it professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which at that point, then it's no longer because the. Well, look, it's very veiled. It's not even thought of as actual amateur sports.
But not as a huge, huge money for the colleges. It's the NFL's minor leagues.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it's bigger than. We can imagine.
Yeah. Anytime you play a sport in front of 90,000 people, it's not amateur anymore.
No. And everybody, so that's why a lot of these NCAA laws are archaic, where I've heard it say, like, you can give a student athlete a bagel, but if you give him cream cheese with that bagel, then that's illegal.
But let's transcribe this possible stuff for the March Madness.
Yeah.
Mm.
This could blow the NCAA up.
Just to let you know, March Madness, $350 billion. That's billion with a B. $350 billion changes hands amongst American citizens with those pools.
Wow.
Office pools, you know, yeah, online pools.
Is that a game of skill? They're not regulated.
No, but the...
Super Bowl, so they're going to say this is intrusive, right? If the government should want to crack down on this, right? Fantasy leagues, because we're already doing all these other things.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, there's a big difference about what you do as a group of friends impromptu at work on a pools and... setting up your business to do something.
But, yeah, and it's very hard to... How you can get a daily fantasy site out of just, you know, a couple basketball games in the month of March and April. So, but just to let you know how much money changes hands amongst non-NCAA employees and athletes.
If the students would finally realize what power they really hold.
Well, I think this is a small point of it in Missouri.
What future NFL player is going to say, okay, I'm going to put my entire future at risk for this stand. This is my hill. I might be giving up a career in the NFL.
Well, let's
to make
say you
it.
Don't. So you're going to go out there and be an 11-man team? No.
No.
So it doesn't matter. I mean,
and not only that, you're not going to see. You're only going to see it at the small colleges first, where it's. I have an incredibly long shot to even be invited to an NFL combine, let alone drafted and start and play. Yep. But here I am at Alabama. Here I am at Ohio State. These football factories. You're not going to. No, I'll just wait. I'm going to make my millions later. I don't
and
need
then
to worry
you might
about
say,
you guys.
Well, if you're at a football factory, you need the team to stand by, because otherwise it's the one guy and he gets replaced.
Yeah,
do you want to be that one guy who makes the stand and no one else does?
Well, and I mean, just look
that's not likely to happen.
And because that's in college sports, there's always somebody behind you.
But really,
what it's set up for. Who's coming next? Because you're gone in two, 3 years.
But let's think of all the professional sports. I mean, football is the only sport that still is the owner's game.
Yes.
You know, pretty much they listen and they do.
Yeah.
Where that's not true in baseball, and definitely not true in basketball.
No.
The players pretty much run the teams, not the coach and stuff like that. So football, it's interesting to see that, because basically discipline and military style, you know, it's different.
It's absolutely different. It's very unique. That's why it's the new
so
America's
see
game.
Them
it's America's
pull
game.
This off. Is pretty strong. Plus, I don't mind commitment to a cause. You know, I don't have to agree with the cause either, but I respect the commitment. If somebody's worth is going to risk something, and particularly their career or their glory, or when you're young, I think it'd be very difficult to do that. So
yeah,
I give them a lot of praise,
especially when you think a lot of these kids are like 17, 18,
19,
20.
Sure, 18 or 19, sure. Most likely. Yeah. So I agree with that. The fact that they were able to do that and they had the wherewithal to do that.
But I like to see in a car seat generation.
Mm.
You know, and you sit in a car seat, you know.
Right.
You hit the brakes, you went forward, you banged your head, you sat back, you held on to the handle, you learned how to preserve.
You were still in prams.
Right. So to see a group of people that, and I'm thinking younger people, it's more about fitting in.
Yeah.
It's more about, so, you know.
The group thing.
You know,
think,
for them to
the
protest.
Hive
and,
mind,
and to
yeah.
get behind. And, good for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much. We went over
You're
it this
welcome.
Week, so hope people don't mind. This wasn't too boring for you, but thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Happy Veterans Day to anybody who observes. Happy Armistice Day, Remembrance Day. However,
absolutely.
All the different get your poppies at the food store and whatnot. So thank you very much. Again, our number is 626-427-7678. If you want to call, join in, comment, questions, all that stuff, that's 626-427-7678, and you can find us at Everyman Sports on Twitter. Thank you very much. Andrew, please, if you will, take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.